Fourth Nephi, this book is just one chapter long, and it records the history of the people after Christ had left them. And it says after 2 years from the time that Christ left them, they had been able to convert all the people to the Lord. And in verse 3, it describes their state or the result of having converted everyone to the Lord. And it says that they had all things among them common. Therefore, they were not rich nor poor. And again, I repeat that this is a result. It is not something that is administered to by man. For some reason, man thinks, oh yes, if we need to have all things in common, so let's set up a government to control and administer that. And obviously, that's not that is not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is that you have all things in common as a natural consequence of your love. And as we'll see later on, it talks of a great degree of the love that of the Lord that the people had. And this was only a manifestation. Again, if you look at a family, you would say that a family has all things in common. If you loved your brothers and loved everyone as you loved your family, you would see how everything you had would be shared, and you'd be giving that to help others and relieve other people of burden. So, yeah, and again, it says that the state was described to as having no rich or poor among them, meaning that if you the rich has a meaning that you have to be above others. They didn't care about being above others. All they wanted to do is live their life. And so, if they had extra, they seen if someone else wanted extra. And if they didn't have and what really results is everyone then becomes rich, because whatever one man can figure out for the comfort and ease of others, he shares that with others. But everyone is laboring and toiling just to keep themselves busy while they study and meditate and discuss the Word of God. And again, their hearts are not on these riches. It is so difficult to describe these states today, because people, no matter what, in their hearts are thinking about having these riches. They're thinking, oh, I'd sure like to live in that day where everybody was rich. But see, again, their hearts or their desires are these riches. These people weren't thinking that way. All they were thinking about is they needed the things to live, and they would work, and if they could have more comfortable clothes, they made more comfortable clothes. And if they figured out how to do that, they showed another man how to do that. And if they could make extra and another man couldn't, then they would share. It was just like you do in your family. But all people were industrious, and all people were working to learn the Word of God, and so everyone prospered. And it's just a natural thing that comes from people who love each other and truly have their eye to the Lord and not to the things of this world. Paul then says in verse 5, other signs of things happening were that they raised the dead, and they healed the healed people of all manner of sickness. And then it says that said that in verse 7 that they prospered, or they prosperity abounded, as we said. You know, everybody became rich, but again, they weren't caring about this riches as something, again, to show off to someone else. All they cared about is existing in this life as comfortably as possible while they were, and when we say comfortable, it doesn't mean that owning something is comfortable. Comfortable means making clothes that are more comfortable to wear. Making a tractor seat that's easier to sit on, just anything like that. But we're not doing that because we seek any things, you know, to be lifted up amongst another. It is so difficult because of the minds of the world today are on being lifted up and thinking that they enjoy the possession for having the possession. But in their prosperity, it just meant that there was plenty for all to have. So all who wanted whatever they wanted had it. But they had it for the enjoyment of the property, not for the lust or the desire just to own property. Well, then, and again, in this land, I might also say, in their land, if they're not using a piece of land, they believe the land belonged to God. And they, therefore, if another man needed that land, then he came up and he used it. And if he had a need or a desire to use it. No, land just didn't sit there, and man didn't just say, oh, I own that piece of land even, and it's just going to sit there, and it's for me to control. Yeah, it's again the desire of man to control. It says that they, in verse 12, that they fast and prayed continually. They're always praying. I mean, that's why these things didn't matter. Their heart was on the Lord. This is their sign. And that they did meet off to pray. Prayer was part of this meeting. It wasn't just someone opened with a prayer to be heard of the other people. As a group, they prayed. And that they desired to hear the word of God. They heard the word of God at church. They didn't hear the word of men or someone else giving their ideas of things or repeating some more precepts of men of what other men say is good and just to be flattered and to be sentimentalized and so forth. They heard the word of God, and those in their meetings delivered the word of God, and it came by the Spirit. It says in verse 13 that there was no contention of them among them, but there were mighty miracles all the time. These are the things that attend the people of God. Mighty miracles all the time. If you read this area here, you know that we are not living in a time that the people are of God. But yet they take great pride in claiming that they are Zion. And that they are the kingdom of God. It is a sadness, the honors that men want to put on themselves. And they put the honors of God upon themselves. And then it says that there was no contention. And why? Because of the love of God in their hearts. Meaning their hearts was based on the love of God. This again was what caused them to have all things in common. It was not the governing. It's not because that's the kind of government they set up. And so that it could be forced and controlled. They just had the love of God. And that's how they felt towards all their fellow man. And then it says in verses 16 and 17 that they were living the commandments of Christ, and it described them, which meant that they were never disobedient to the law of Moses. Why? Because the law of Christ was above that. It was in the heart. That your heart was always correct towards your fellow man. Obviously, you'd never be doing anything against the law of Moses. And then it says in the second 100 years, that during that time, a small part do descend and become Lamanites. Again, man just tends to retrogress, and therefore this is some of the trials all the time. Even during this time, I'm sure there were small little signs of problems or weaknesses of man that were able to be understood and discussed, and caused some affliction to others, meaning to see that there was any kind of a degeneration instead of a continual growth. Well, then it says in the beginning of the year 200, their pride enters the church. Notice that clearly. That's what begins to tear a people down, pride. And again, that's what has entered the church from the beginning. That's what's been in our church. And how is it manifest? It's manifest by costly apparel. And so the people have their pride in their costly apparel. And I begin to see that. And that's exactly the state today. It means that we are no longer the people of God. We are no longer a righteous people. Yet, for some reason, in our part of our pride is to claim that we are the chosen people. And it says that, therefore, they have their substance no more in common. Notice that this was an easy transition. It didn't say there was a big contention over it. It just moved that they no longer had in common, because now they... has been previously said, the idea of having things in common was just an obvious sharing and a love for other people. They didn't have that love, so they didn't share their things anymore. And it means that each person had their own stewardship, but they believed it was just the stewardship of God, and it was inheritance given for God, and they were to take care of this property. But now they began to say, no, I own this property. This is my property. And they began to, that began to be the new state. And then they began to obviously have desires for gain, which mean that they thought, well, why should I just let you take that? What are you going to give me? Or they began to worry about what themselves were going to receive. And then they began to say, oh, I need protection in case you break it. And all of a sudden, all the stinking things of man come along. And then, so therefore, what results is they have classes of people, of one lifting up another. And when they have classes too, that means there's levels in the churches, and it says, it describes in verse 26 that there's gain in the churches, meaning you know that the leaders begin to get paid for their speeches as they do today, and that they make money off the wonderful books they write, and they get upheld and lifted up, And so it was not only in the church, it was in the land, but they hadn't separated the church from the government like we do today, meaning that the church didn't rule the government, but they did all believe in God. But now today we have completely separated these things. And so the point is to them that when they also began to separate them, but when it means that their classes also existed within the church, and they began to have positions in church and uphold one man above another. And then, therefore, in this section, or beginning at verse 26, it's really important to try and understand that. You have to understand that the Book of Mormon is written by righteous men. They are giving it from the point of view of righteous men. They are not writing it from the point of view of the flattering men, and they are not repeating how men flatter, and they're not showing you these flattering techniques. Because these are the ways of the Gadianton and robbers, and these are the ways we pick up today and are used. And they're not going to tell you those things. They're going to tell you what really is going on. And so as it says in the end of verse 26, that they began to deny the true church of Christ. Who did they deny? Was there a church over here? Did they make their own church and there was another organization? Again, that's how we think today. We think in these organizations called churches. The true church is the people who worship God and who follow Jesus Christ. They're the true followers of Christ. They're people. That is the church, and he's made that clear over and over again. And it says down in verse 29 that there was another church, a completely separate church. So that implies the ones that up here in verse 26 is talking about it. This was the church in the church, meaning that organization they called the church, the people in that church were denying the true church, or denying the true followers of Christ, that they were correct and so forth, and that they were the true followers of Christ, because it said that the other church did persecute the true church of God because of their humility and their belief in Christ, not it. Not the church is, but there. Meaning the true church is a people, is a group of people. And again, man can't handle that. They don't understand that. They keep wanting to call that church, instead of it being an assembly of the true followers of Christ. And then when they said they established the church, they established a group of true followers of Christ, the people who have been baptized and want to follow Christ, not men. Then people want to think of these physical organizations and call the church an entity instead of it being the people. What has happened here, as we'll begin to see later on, well, in verse 30 it talks about them being able to exercise power and authority over the three disciples. Why? They took the power of the church. And this is how they persecuted the others. And notice it says in verse 27 that they did deny the more parts of the gospel, even as today. They don't want to get into talking about the gospel, and let's talk each day about repentance and what repentance is and how we change our character and so forth, and how we go unto Christ, and how we literally go unto Christ, and what it means to be a child before him and so on, and going through the Book of Mormon and studying each thing it says there. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about their own precepts. And then they build up everything for a matter of show, and doing ordinances and everything just for a show and physical, not the development of the person. And it said they received all manner of wickedness and did administer that which was sacred unto him whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. I mean, they didn't say he was unworthy. The Lord said he was unworthy. And that's even as today. Again, we went over this before, how today the churches say, well, I will ordain this man because it'll be he can be a good leader to his children, and I will show they come from a good family, so we really need to let them go to the church, and we don't use the Spirit to discern they really need to go to the temple. We don't really discern whether or not they deserve a temple recommend, and so on and so forth. And we don't really believe that we can, through the Spirit, know the worthiness of a man to take the sacrament, and so forth. And we just go ahead about doing our ordinances for the ordinance's sake, not believing in the Spirit of them or covenant that is being made by these ordinances. But that's the same condemnation went on today. But again, the important thing here to realize is they're talking about a people. They're not talking about an entity called a church. And this is how the groups were. But the actual physical church had been the physical or the administrative organization had been taken over by these men. And they'd taken the power and authority. They're such to the power and authority that they'd lifted themselves up. See, the disciples, they were just out there baptizing people and teaching them to follow Christ. They didn't put themselves up as authorities or put themselves up to be looked to and uplifted. And so these other men came in and did that. Said they needed to have these leaders. And so it says that even though they took this authority over them, the disciples still wrought mighty miracles amongst them. Now again, I say to you today, you will see the men come into the land who will exercise mighty miracles amongst these people. And they will do it by the power of God, and they will say it clearly by the power of God. And the leaders of the church today will condemn them, just as it says in verse 34 they did there. It said that because the people were led by many priests and false prophets to build up many churches. So understand clearly how that describes them. See, they were building churches, and they were building people, and they were getting followers, and they were led by these men, not by the Lord. See, their whole structure was to follow men, build churches, increase numbers. And isn't that exactly what you are taught today to be your goal? But your goal is not to personally come unto Christ. And so this is describing, and why is it? He's describing several hundred years of history here. But what is it? All it is a repeat of the many histories he's already talked about in the Book of Mormon. You would think you would get the point. But now, and so therefore, what is Mormon selecting out of all this history? The things that apply to who? They apply to you today. The things that apply to us. And are we not? We're led by many priests and false prophets. Our prophets are all false. There's not a single one that prophesies. There's not a single one that revelates the scripture to us. There's not a single one that's been a seer and seen the past and translated any histories for us. But they run around claiming to be prophets. That's why it included here false prophets. And what do? Their job is to build up many churches. They want to build up the churches. And see, we're building up these buildings in this organization and bringing in all these people. My goodness, obviously, Mormon saw our day. He said he saw our day, and he picked things out that directly describe it. But then what did they do? They smited the people, the true followers of Christ. If you know who are true followers of Christ, they are put down in this church. They are not allowed to speak. They are not allowed to teach. And they are moved to the side. And when men speak by the Spirit and say so and bring up these things in the church, they are not allowed to speak. And there are many, and especially those that are the most commonly known are those who stand up for freedom. They're thought to be radicals, and they're pushed to the side, and why should they be talking about freedom? But there are also those who begin to talk of Christ and other things. I tell you, they are suppressed in this church, and they are, but they do not smite back. They do not cause a big upstir like the other ones. And that's why it appears that the authority is correct. And think how sad it is we are as men. Rather than listening to the Word and accepting the Word and the Spirit, what's important is who can smite someone, who can push someone down, who can exercise authority, and if they get away with it, that means they're right. What kind of how sad it is for our spirit of truth and discernment and love of Christ that we think that it's in who can show forth the most intimidation or the most repeating that we would say those who are can show forth the most power as men, that means that they are right. And obviously then the devil is going to bring forth his intimidation and infiltrate his power into it if the people are going to believe that it's this kind of thing that determines what is right. So then it says that the people are hard and they don't want to listen to the Word of God. I mean, they're hard in their hearts. They don't receive the Spirit. Even today, we don't receive the Spirit. No man, you cannot talk to a member of the church and tell him about the Spirit and how the Spirit feel about these things. They say, oh, no, we have to follow the leaders. No, we need to follow these men. And again, they've hardened their hearts because they're hardened their hearts to the Spirit so that they can follow the leaders. That's what verse 34 is saying clearly to you. Your heart is hard because you want to follow the men. So it says finally the true believers just separate. They leave. They leave that church. They left. Some have left today. They leave it, but then they go off to themselves and they get together and they form their own group and they become the Nephites. And it says the other ones are taught to hate the true followers of Christ. As you're taught today in the church, anyone who descends or goes away or says that they're following Jesus Christ, or if they won't follow the leadership of the church, there's something wrong with them, and you're taught to hate them, and you're not taught to associate with them, and you're taught that they're wrong, and that they're sons of perdition, and so on and so on. And why did they hate them? What is the reason? Because they would not submit to their authority. Now, again, that isn't specifically pointed out here, but that's what we've seen throughout the Book of Mormon. And that's what we saw here. They did take over the authority of the church. And these separated. They went their own way, and they would not submit to their authority. And so what are they saying, though? They're saying the same thing that's been said throughout the Book of Mormon. They're saying, we have the authority of the church. We are the ones to be in charge of the church. They have to submit to our authority. And that's the same thing they say today, and as the last days unfold upon us, that is what you will see continue to occur. They will use this right that they have been given the authority has been passed down through Joseph Smith to them. They have the right to this authority, even though they've rejected the present prophet, Ezra Taft Benson. And they have indeed usurped the power and authority, but they want that authority, and they will therefore hate those who will not submit to that authority. Notice in verse 41 that it says, the wicked still have their churches, and they still build up churches. Again, they claim the authority of Christ, and they claim to be the true church. And when someone points a finger at them, they are all taken aback. What's wrong with me? I'm building up this wonderful church. Look at all these churches we're making, just as today. But they're not interested in bringing people under Christ. And only under Christ can a man truly develop himself, can perfect himself, can overcome his weaknesses, only through Christ and only through following Christ. And so therefore they are leading that man away from the things that will strengthen his character and perfect him so that he'll be able to live with Christ. Well, then it says in verse 42, the Gadianton and robbers then arise again, and we begin to have oaths in the land. And notice that this is again just a review of the same thing that always happens to man. As today, why do we see this happening over and over again? That's repeating this history. And yet we say, oh, no, it's not today. Our present prophets say we're taken over by secret combinations. We do the works of the Gadianton robbers. We do it their way today. And we say, oh, no, not today. But you're on the same token, we're not the righteous people as described in the beginning of this book. And then it says that in verse 43 that even all the Nephites began to be taken with pride. Pride begins to be the thing that overtakes them, even as today. And so in verse 44, it says that the three disciples begin to feel the sorrow of the world, and they sorrow. So therefore, they feel the misery of the world. And this is a progression of them. This is strengthening them that this is not the thing that they want. They can see it, feel it, taste it. They do not want that for the eternities. You need to see and feel and taste the misery of this world. If you do not recognize it, then the devil is blinding you, and that is what he blinds you to, and you cannot progress because you do not have the motivation, the desire to get out of it. And it says in verses 46 that then the people's value begins to be in gold and in riches. And those that are rich or the value of the system is in the business trade. Who are the salesmen? Who are the controllers of the business? And all that. These are the things that are upheld and said to be great, even as today. And so finally, at the year 320, the whole land, all the Nephites, have become wicked. So there's no one for Amron, who now then has the records. There is no one for him to pass them on to. So therefore, he hides them up, to later, as we know, to be given to Mormon, but there is no one of age to give them to, so he has to hide him until Mormon is old enough to take them.